That's good, you can do the catechism over the line like that too.
Tell them get back to Michigan.
Yeah, no, I did.
Didn't know that.
We'll open with prayer. Gracious Lord, thank you for bringing us safely here this morning and somewhat unexpected travel condition.
It's got a P-trap built in it, or comes with it. And okay. It says it's 1.5 inches. I'm going to cut the 2-inch off. I want to go 1.5 inches and slide it in, tighten the nut.
Okay, so you'll probably want a union joint if that's the case. You said slide it in tight.
Amen. All right. Genesis 16. We went a little long last week, or we actually had some business early on, so we went a little later last week. That got us to Genesis 16. Hagar. Anybody recognize that name? Who was Hagar?
Sarah's nurse.
Sarah's. Yes, that's right. That's right. Yep. Ishmael? Her son. Yep. Yep. Genesis 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arm, and now she knows that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord, who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me," for she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. All right. Never let it be said that the Bible is doesn't get into sordid details. It certainly does. So how long has it been since God told Abram to move to Canaan and promised him great blessings, many of which were intended for his descendants? How long has it been? Did you catch that? It's also in verse 3 if you didn't.
10 years.
What had God promised Abram? I mean, there was a sevenfold blessing, but what was one of the most significant things?
No child.
He didn't have it. That was a significant thing now, but the significant promise was, you will have so many descendants you can't count them. And one of your descendants is going to be a blessing to all people. And here he is, 10 years down the road, and much has changed. Yet one thing remains unchanged. What is it? No child. Sarai had borne Abram no child. Whom does Sarai blame for this?
The Lord.
The Lord. The Lord has given me no children. And I guess ultimately, it is God who gives the blessing of children, right? But that... She's clearly upset about this and kind of holds God responsible. Well, and that's, again, ultimately God is the one who gives children, but there seems to be a bitterness there. So what does Sarai propose to her husband to rectify the situation? Sleep with my slave. Yep. That was a custom of the day. This was not unusual in the time. And so Sarai was saying, maybe this is how I can, you know, have descendants or children. I can do it through my slave lady. How does Abram respond? First of all, the response, he agreed. What might have been his reasons for doing so?
To have an heir.
What's that?
To have an heir.
To have an heir, yes. So that he might actually have a child that way. Yep, he might have thought that this was the way God's promise would be answered. Because God, remember, had not specifically said how he would have descendants or how he would have children. We said another reason is that it was a common practice of the day, so this wasn't unheard of. Abram was certainly familiar with the custom. It seemed to be very important to his wife, right? She suggested it. I know. And that seems strange, Carrie. I know.
He always does what she wants.
And that really brings us to really probably another reason. Hagar was a younger woman. Lust probably could have very well been a factor here.
Oh, okay.
He's a red-blooded man, you know. Now, let's go back to Carrie was kind of laughing. Was this a good idea on Sarai's part?
No.
I think we even struggle to comprehend how that could even cross her mind. But again, recognizing that this was pretty commonly done. And by the way, if you look at the very end of Abram's life, you see that he actually had other wives and children through other wives. So whether those wives were, you know, whether Sarah was still alive, we're not sure on that. But the potential problems that could come from this situation far outweighed the potential blessing, it seems to me, anyways. Judy.
Were the slaves of a different belief system? And I mean, weren't they worried about what the child would believe and, you know, if they would be God-fearing?
That's a very good question. And, you know, we're not told a lot about what they believed or anything. My assumption has always been, now it's an assumption, we're not told that. My assumption has always been that Abram taught his entire household about the true God. But you're right, we don't know that for sure. When you know, how did Sarai come into possession? That sounds so strange to us too. Possession of Hagar? Was she just a tiny girl when she, you know, got her? And so she didn't know anything else. She was raised to know the true God. I don't know. That seems logical. Did she still hold to some of her false gods because she was captured maybe when she was older? I don't know how that all worked. But yeah, it's a legitimate question. My assumption, and I'm pretty confident in this, is that Abram taught his entire household about the true God. Because that was really important to him. But we don't know for sure. So it's a legitimate question.
What nationality would Hagar have been?
We're told that she was an Egyptian.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and how that whole slave trade worked. I mean, you'll remember one of Abraham's descendants, Joseph, right, was sold by his brothers into slavery. So how this whole slave thing worked, I assume that raiders would come in, capture people, and sell them off for slaves. I mean, it was a brutal world. And what a strange thing for Hagar, too. All of a sudden, she's told by her mistress, go sleep with my husband. What a strange, strange deal. So, Sarai suggested it. Abraham agreed with it. Both of them would come to regret it. Were any of these reasons that we just talked about justifiable for what Abram did, what Sarai suggested? No. Was this a good choice or a bad one? Can we all raise our hands? This was a bad choice. This was a bad choice. Franzmann, who is one of our great theologians of years gone by, wrote, you know, some of you may be familiar with Franzmann's Bible History Commentary, and he wrote this, that what Abram and Sarai sought was in agreement with faith, with what God had said he would do. So they thought maybe this is the way God's going to keep his promise. But how they sought it was not in accordance with God's will. Questions or comments on this at all? What were the results of this choice? Well, the first and obvious one is?
She conceived.
Yeah. Then what happened?
She began to despise.
Hagar began to despise Sarai, her mistress. Yeah. Initially, I wondered, did Hagar despise Sarah because she basically handed Hagar over to Abraham to sleep with him? But if you look at what the Bible says, it says she despised Sarai after she became pregnant. So it seems pretty clear that Hagar said, wow, I'm gonna have my master's baby and my mistress, she couldn't do it. Verse
5. Maybe she didn't want to get pregnant.
Well, that's what I wondered, Tom. That, I mean, the possibility would be, how could, you know, this, that I have to sleep with my wife's husband could be a reason for despising. Or becoming pregnant could be a reason that she despised it. But, and maybe your point is valid that she didn't want to be pregnant. But having children was such a big deal back then that either the special arrangements were even made by God to make sure that lines were continued on. And that was kind of the mindset, I think, in all of culture. It's possible, you could be right, Tom, but it seems that it was because Hagar was able to have a baby and Sarah was not. But you're right. It's possible that Hagar, you know, was upset because she was pregnant, but I mean, she must have understood that was the reason why she was sent into Abraham. I don't know. We're not told all the details here, but yeah, pretty messy situation. All right, verse 5. What's another result of this?
Well, I am going to say there's hostility between Sarah and Abraham.
Yeah, hostility is a very good word. Now, there's not many guys here. These are mostly women. Why is it always that when we do what you tell us to do, that we ended up getting in trouble. How is that? How does that work?
It's a good thing Gary's mad.
Oh. But this is really interesting. I jest, but verse 5. This is striking. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." How did Abram get blamed for that? You know, and then, you know, "May the Lord judge between you and me." This was a bad idea, Sarai. It's a bad idea, suggestion on your part. It was a bad idea on Abraham's part to take it. Don't see what good could have come out of it. There's just way too many potential problems. But Sarai blames Abram for bringing this grief on her. Hostility is a good word. Animosity, frustration, everything else that Hagar's not pregnant. She seems to be haughty over her mistress. And so Sarai, who longed to have children, couldn't. And now her maidservant, is pregnant with Abram's, her husband's child. So very, very big mess. Verse 6. So Abram says, what does Abram say, verse 6?
"Do whatever you want with her."
Do as you see fit.
It's your problem.
Yeah. Oh, my. This is not going well, is it? Yeah, this is not going well. And so, basically, this is kind of interesting because, I mean, I don't want to read too much into it, but Sarah complains to Abram. Abram says, "Do as you see fit." And so it's almost like he gave her permission to do whatever she needed to do. And then so she felt she had permission to mistreat Hagar.
Yeah.
That's an interesting dynamic there. It's almost like she needed his permission to mistreat her slave. Because I suppose ultimately in that society, the slave Hagar was probably owned by Abram ultimately, right? I don't know. Again, I don't want to read too much in this, and it's not really that important, but it's kind of interesting that once Abram said that do with her as you see fit, then we're told Sarah began to mistreat her. Another bad idea here. As a result of Sarah's mistreatment,
Hagar fled.
It must have been nasty. It's been bad. Where's she going to go, right? But she felt so desperate that she just said, "I got to get out of here." And maybe I don't know if there was physical abuse going on. I don't know, but it's possible if there was that she's even concerned about her child. I don't know. But it was to the point. It was so bad that Hagar just said, "I can't do that. I gotta go." And she fled. She had nothing. Her chances of survival, very low. And then while Hagar is away, let's skip down to the next question. Who met Hagar there?
Angel of the Lord.
Yeah. Not an angel of the Lord, but
God.
The angel of the Lord. That's called a definite article. We'll talk more about that in a moment. And the angel of the Lord tells her, "You are going to have a son." This is number 6 up above. "You are going to have a son. You will name him Ishmael. He's going to live in hostility with his brothers." Who would end up being the Israelites? They also were his cousins, right? Yeah. So you know that Mideast hostility and tensions over there, trace it all the way back to Abram, Sarai, Hagar, and Ishmael. And interestingly enough, Hagar was told even before Ishmael was born that this is the way it's going to be.
What a bummer.
What? I know, yeah.
No, your son's going to be brought into hostility.
Yeah, I know. I thought that same thing. You're right. Yeah. Well, and I suppose it's natural. Again, you know, we're given snippets, but I can't imagine that Sarai's resentment of Hagar went away after Hagar came back. Can you? And so, the tension in that household must have been ongoing. And so Ishmael's growing up, recognizing that he's not really wanted by his mother's boss or owner. And so there's just probably some resentment that's growing in him, even as he's young. I don't know. Again, I don't want to read too much into all this, but bad idea, bad results. Questions or comments on what we've talked about so far? Yeah, Judy.
Was it a punishment because she gave her maidservant to Abram that her son then would live like that and be, I don't know, you just wonder why he was going to have such a hard life.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, was God trying to tell him he shouldn't have done that? You know, he should have trusted me.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, the problems that arose as a result of that, I think the Lord made it pretty clear this was a bad idea. You're going to, you know,
I mean, that's the thing that came to my mind.
Right, yeah.
Was, okay, well, you know, all this happened, and now he's going to live a really hard life. And of course, the parents will have to bear some of that problem,
right,
too.
Right, right. Well, and, yeah. And isn't... Listen, we can all relate to this, I think. Who can look back in their life and say, boy, I got it right all the time?
I look back and I got it wrong.
Yeah, we all recognize that there's a number of things we wish we could do differently. Okay? Here's the reality of when, and I'm not just talking about a wise decision, poor decision. I'm talking about moral decision, immoral decision, okay? You know, and when we cross that line and do things that we know God would not want us to do, there are often, not always, but often, probably even always, to some degree, ramifications of that. Right? Even if it's only self-guilt. So there are always ramifications of sin. That doesn't change the fact that God forgives and God loves, that Jesus carried every single wrong thing we've done to the cross and paid for it in full. Praise be to God. Where would we be without Jesus? But that also doesn't change the fact that sometimes there are ramifications for the mistakes that we made, the poor choices we made. And Abram and Sarah definitely were seeing ramifications for the poor decisions they made here. Yeah. As far as Hagar goes, her choices were either she did what Sarai told her to, or she fled for her life and hoped to, I mean that, but yeah, as far as Sarai not trusting, you know, and Abraham giving in to her suggestion, Again, I think to give them the benefit of the doubt, perhaps they thought it's been 10 years. Clearly, it seems we can't have children. Maybe this is the way that this is supposed to happen. But there was one significant thing that was missing in this. This isn't what God told them to do. God had spoken to Abram a number of times, right? Said this is going to happen. Probably we can also relate to that. Have you ever been convinced that this is what God